I'm here with Tina Barney to talk about her current show at the Barbican, The Europeans. Tina, I'd like to first of all take you through the exhibition, this project, which has taken several years now to complete, and we're seeing the exhibition now, of course. Could we talk a little bit about how it came about and why you decided to go and photograph these families and people in various countries around Europe?
Well, I'd sort of gotten a little bit tired of what I had been doing in the United States. I'd been photographing for 20 years there, and it just wasn't interesting to me anymore. And two friends suggested that I apply to the American Academy in Rome as a visiting artist. And everything worked out. I got accepted. I went there only having two friends that I knew and not having one single idea in mind what I was going to photograph, not a plan in mind. And as it began, I got one name from a friend and went on the first shoot, arrived, and the setting and the people were far beyond anything I had ever imagined or dreamed. The whole sort of project just went on from there. One person would say, well, you have to photograph my sister. And then the next person would say, well, you know, my cousin is married to an Austrian. And that's how the next countries developed. One relative would have another relative in another country. And before I knew it, 8 years went by, and I photographed six families. It was actually in the middle or after the second country that I realized, oh, I have to do the whole thing. I have to sort of do more than one country. And sort of learned how to plan the trips a little bit better each time I went. And then in the midst of all that was the invention of email, because in 1996 that just hadn't come into being yet. And that really changed communication and made it so much more easy for me to arrange these trips ahead.
I wanted to talk about the way you take your photographs. You work in the same way you've worked since you began doing photography with a large format camera, and you mentioned that you've only ever had two lenses, in fact. And you mentioned in the documentary that's recently been made about you that sometimes you see something and then it's another half an hour before you've had to set up all the equipment.
I definitely would like to explain how I photograph, because that's really one of the reasons that I wanted J.C. Juddelson to make this film, because I sort of get tired of describing this process. I also think if, depending on whether the person who's asking the question is a photographer or not, I go into more detail. I think that the process takes every living bit of physical strength that I have in me, plus a sort of ignorance of the technical problems of photography, because I think without that sort of ignorance, I would have never set out to use the 4x5 camera in the way that I did starting back in 1981. In the history of photography, I think usually the large view camera has been used in a very kind of sedentary way, very quietly staying in one place, maybe taking an hour to take one photograph. Right. And I right away started using a large camera as if it were a snapshot camera. I would pick the tripod up, walk around, move around very quickly. And then with the introduction of strobe lighting, things changed quite a bit. So there's a very big difference if you look at my photographs in 1981, 1984, then you hop to 1987, as far as the lighting that I used and the way that I photographed. I'd say in about 1984, I started putting a flash on the top of my 4x5 Toyo view camera. Then in 1987, I started using strobes. That meant I had to use an assistant. And I thought that was going to change everything, having an assistant, walking in with six bags, taking an hour to set up the pictures. But it sort of freed me, actually, because people could move in the pictures a little bit more because of the strobe lighting, giving a better sort of combination of lighting and speed that I hadn't had before.
Quite an amount's been written about the way that your work looks so interestingly like portraiture that you will see in Renaissance painting, etc. This comes out particularly in The Europeans, where there's a wonderful synergy between, say, a hand movement, and then that's picked up in an arm of a statue. When you go and photograph, how aware are you of those little nuances? Obviously, you're aware of the colour and things like that, but those little nuances, are you sometimes surprised?
So much is done on instinct that I think that a great deal of it's surprise. That's, to me, what's so wonderful about it. But a lot of the times when I'm taking the pictures, I know when I've got something terrific. And, you know, I think that those accidents, I call them gifts, because there's just such an incredible phenomena.
I notice as well, I mean, it's quite interesting, we're sitting at the moment in a room predominantly red and green, you're wearing a black jumper, there's a black light shade here. And those kind of relationships in your work are what comes out so magically.
I mean, I really, really give credit to my mother for color, that kind of color harmony. Because she was a model and then became an interior decorator, and she's the one that would match all those things. I mean, as a little girl, when she went skiing, every single thing that she wore would match. And I think that was her own little kind of invention, and I just imitated that. And always sort of would notice these kind of matching things that happen.
In the beginning, of course, you started photographing family and friends, people you knew very well. And it seems, obviously, with the Europeans, that you're not doing that. These are people that you're meeting through recommendations, etc. How different is that way of working when you're going in not having a close relationship with the people you're photographing?
I think I'll go back to say that the first time I started working in an editorial kind of manner was a picture editor called Michael Collins hired me without ever having met me even. And it was terrifying for me because he sent me into places that I'd never been. I wondered if I could do it. And I realized it was just as easy for me, and sometimes even easier, because I didn't have to deal with the personal connections and the psychological and sort of emotional connections I had to the people that I was photographing at home.
Again, I think what was very interesting in the documentary is actually seeing your absolute scrupulous matching of the colours. When you do the big prints, you were examining minutely everything. Is that the right colour there? This jumper, I'm not sure. There's a little thing on it. Is it exactly matched?
I think that because I teach photography from time to time, that my sort of dismay and discouragement is that so many photographers don't deeply love photography. And the digitization of photography is the death. That's my love. That's the reason I drag around all this stuff. I also think that a lot of photographers don't print their own work anymore.
You've had to make a selection for the exhibition. How do you do that? That must be so difficult.
Well, making that selection is difficult to do, but you have to remember I only show 9 photographs every other year at Janet Gordon, the gallery I've been showing at from the beginning of my photographic career. And I think that's another mistake a lot of artists make, is they show too many pictures and don't edit well. So doing this show wasn't that difficult.
A lot of the rooms, they've got paintings, they've got statues. Sometimes you decide to use a kitchen area or something like that that also becomes pretty revealing.
But I really keep in mind the dignity of the people in the pictures. I mean, I could make them much more revealing, believe me, and I just would never do that. You know, there's a fine line there between invading the privacy of the people and taking an interesting picture.
I also wanted to talk a little bit about how you got into photography. You call yourself self-taught.
Well, a lot of credit should be given to my grandfather, my mother's father, who was a passionate amateur photographer. He didn't just carry one camera around his neck, but it was like 2 or 3. He had 3D cameras. He had a darkroom, and he used to drag me down into his darkroom to show me, when I was a very little girl, his darkroom and his printing sort of processes and everything. But then my family had been art collectors for generations, so I was always surrounded by art. My brother collected art. And I started collecting photography when I was, you know, in my early 20s, because I had a job at the Museum of Modern Art as a volunteer in the photography department, and that's how I got into photography. And so I started really falling in love with photography, and then when I moved to Sun Valley, Idaho in 1973, started making photographs in this art center that was there. So that was the beginning of going on and making this sort of, I guess you could say, career.
I wanted to just revisit something you said, which I think is very interesting, about using the large format plate camera almost in a way that you would use a 35mm. Mm-hmm. There's one shot in Austria where the woman is just about to fling her pashmina
yes.
around herself. Such movement that you wouldn't associate at all with a large format image. And I wanted to ask whether you would ever consider working digitally, because you can put format backs now on digital cameras.
It costs $100,000.
But I'm just interested whether that was something that would interest you, or whether you have just such a love of the way you work in terms of the camera that you use, whether that's like something really so familiar to you that you might not want to move to digital.
That could take a whole day to talk about that subject, but a couple of things. That movement is really very much what I did in the 80s. As time has gone by, and you can see that through the Theatre of Manners book, I got more sort of sedentary, more formal. I wanted to control the situation more. I wanted more resolution in the pictures. So along with that, there's a great frustration in using a view camera, that you just can't bop around with it as much. I would never go to digital because I say I want movement. I would only go to digital because of the inevitable extinction of film. It wouldn't be my choice to go to digital. If I'm thinking of what I'm going to do in the future and how I want to change the way I want my pictures to look, I mean, I don't think digital has anything to do with it. I think it has to do with the format of the camera you're using. Yeah, I think things are going to change, and, you know, I'm going to get older, too. And, you know, no assistant can move around with that 4x5 like I do. And an 8x10. I just pick it up and run around with it. Nobody's going to be able to do that at 65, 70 years old. I don't think. Maybe I would, but who knows?
I'm sure you will.